Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Our focus today is on the idea of having somebody fill the role of tackle boss. And I've heard it called a number of things. I know at Bridgewater they've called it tackle boss from Rob Everett. I know Coach Jancola called it the tackling guru. But basically this function fulfills somebody who's going to take some data and analytics from tackling and help make your team better. One coach fills that role. Joining us today is Coach Peyton Allen, who is the defensive line coach now at Maine Maritime, but did spend last season with Mike Jancola at Bridgewater College and did fulfill that role of the tackle boss, the guy who's going to analyze the tackle. So, Coach, it's great to have you here, and I'm excited to get into this topic with you.
Coach, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Because before we do that, let's just get a little bit on your background in coaching and learn a little bit more about you before we dig into this topic.
I recently graduated from Bridgewater College. I was a nutritional science major. I have a minor in coaching. I played football ever since I was about 5 years old. I came to Bridgewater as a player. I played my first two seasons there before I had a knee injury, which ended my playing days. But I always knew I wanted to get into college coaching. So Coach Clark, the head coach of Bridgewater, kind of came to me with an opportunity to start doing a student assistantship with them. And it was an opportunity that I really couldn't pass up in order to get to the position that I am now. So I started working with the tight ends my junior year. Worked with the offense that whole season, and then going into the off season of 2017, I worked with Coach Everett and Coach Jancola with the defense, doing a little bit of just kind of shadowing and learning the way they kind of run things and learning, you know, what they expected of me going forward. And that's when we really started getting into the five fights thing, is going into the fall of 2018. And Coach Everett approached me and said that I was going to take over the role of kind of the tackle grading aspect of it. And we had some conversations based off of what was expected of me, and this is how we wanted to do things. And basically it was all of, here's what we want you to do, and here's what we want you to look for. So go ahead and start practicing it. So going into that season, I worked with just kind of seeing what I wanted to look for going into the season. So I worked with Coach Everett, working with the linebackers during the season. I kind of bounced around a little bit where they needed me. It was more like a GA than anything else, and doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff more than on-the-field aspect of it. But after the season, these guys, you know, they helped me get to the position I am and getting my first, you know, real-world job, if you will, at Maine Maritime. And It's been an amazing ride and been a wild ride, but I'm really looking forward to the next chapter.
Peyton, let's go back to the beginning of that process when these guys approached you and Coach Everett approached you with the idea of taking on the grading of the tackle and the analytics. How did he lay that out for you as far as your expectations and what he wanted you to do?
So he just said that we're taking the next step in the way we were teaching the tackling. And I was kind of familiar with it from things we had done in spring ball the year before, but he said, we were going to take what we were teaching and break it down step by step for every single tackle that's made on every single play. And he sent me a bunch of resources so that I could do a little more research on myself, and then said, go and do a little bit of this from the games of last season, just so you kind of get your foot in the door. So going into the 2018 season, I did a little bit of practicing on our games from the 2017 season just to kind of get my foot in the door. But basically, my responsibility was grading the primary tackle for every play that was made through the course of a game, and in our summer training, every tackle that was made during summer camp. So it ended up being the practicing that I got over the summer and then during fall camp really made it a lot more of a streamlined process once we got into the season.
What kind of tools did you have to learn from as far as, you know, what the picture of good was or where certain errors were occurring? What kind of resources did coach put together for you so you were able to be successful at this task?
So he had a couple different PowerPoint things that Andy Ryland had put together that I was able to look at and just kind of see what exactly from a outline perspective, what was supposed to happen. And then it was up to me to kind of determine whether or not the players were actually, you know, doing what was expected of them in the outline. But during that fall camp period, we would go over them. I would go and grade every tackle that was made during practice. And then when we would go and study film, that was part of the film study. So we would go through every tackle and it would be like, okay, I gave I gave this player a 1 for track, but a 0 for prepare. And this is why. And they would say, okay. And they would agree or disagree. And we would discuss different things. So when, by the time week 2 of fall camp started, we really had a understanding of what we are going to do moving forward. And they put a lot of responsibility on me. And as long as I was able to explain my rationale for why they were getting a 1 or a 0 in terms of if they were doing the connect or not doing the connect, they were lenient on that. It was kind of my judgment call.
So as you started digging into this, you know, in your experiences as a young coach, you know, having been in it just a couple years, this system and the way they're looking at things, how helpful was that for you to really start to understand, I guess, the game, right? Because this is a different way of doing it. It certainly is eye-opening once you get into it. You know, comparing that, I guess, to maybe your first experiences of, I think you said you were the tight ends coach. So hey, Coach Allen, you're going to coach the tight ends, go, versus something like this where you are now in charge of all of our tackling and here's how it works.
It was definitely eye-opening. It was a different approach to coaching that I had experienced ever. And I knew Coach Everett just from being around him the 3 years that he was there prior, that he was a very analytic guy. But seeing how breaking something as common as a tackle down to the, you know, these 5 aspects and then grading it for each person, how it can really enhance that technique and the effectiveness of what we're teaching so much. And it's something that was astonishing to me because it's not really anything you really think about where it's like, oh, you just teach the form or the technique of tackling and then they go do it. But as long as they get their eye on the ground, it doesn't matter. Well, not necessarily. Like we're teaching this to better, you know, the player's ability to tackle, but also their safety and teach them the way we want things done and how we believe this is going to better them. And then they can see it as the weeks go by and their numbers, you know, they show if their acceleration was down 1 week and their yak was up, and then they go to the next week and their acceleration was better and their yak was also better. They're like, okay, I understand why this is important.
Coach gave you the assignment. Let's go and look at the games from the last season. And you know, that can be a daunting task, especially as a guy who's never done that before. So as you got into it and you started looking at things, what do you feel is the best way maybe to, for somebody out there who like you was doing it for the first time, to maybe implement this or integrate themselves into that kind of process? Because if you look at, for example, Coach Digitano's grade sheets, I mean, it's mind-blowing, all the things that he finds just by putting some things into huddle, in the huddle columns. But I don't think you start there. I think it has to be at a different place. For you, what did that starting point look like in order to number one, be able to prepare and familiarize yourself, but also to become good at this?
Really, for me, it was just finding how I felt comfortable with things at first. So how I wanted to grade it and how I did it leading up into fall camp is I literally got a notepad and would write down like yes, I think that's good track, or no, I don't think that's good track. And I would just put checks or X's on a piece of paper. And it ended up being similar to the ones and zeros that we ended up doing on Huddle and on Excel. But for me, it was just, it wasn't so much about learning exactly how we wanted to grade it from a X's and O's standpoint. It was more of me getting comfortable with grading that type of action. So I would just go and figure out which way of doing it was most comfortable for me. And then when we got into fall camp, I adapted my own thinking and the way that I had developed it over the summer to, you know, the way that they wanted it done. And I was able to kind of mesh those together because it was rather similar in a lot of ways. So it was easy for me to kind of do that. But I think for any coaches trying to learn this style of grading, it's just, there's no one right way to do it. So find a way that you feel comfortable with and just adapt and learn, you know, the way that we always do. When we go to AFCA or we go to any type of conference, you're constantly learning of a better way to do it. Like the way that we do this, hopefully next year at Maine Maritime, or the way that I want to do it, it's going to be a little bit different than the way we did last year at Bridgewater. So it's just constantly learning and constantly molding the way that you want to do it.
Before we dig into how this works both through the camp and then in season, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, the process that you've been through and now how you've been trained to look at a particular skill. Did you find application for that in any other areas of your coaching, as or has it like integrated itself, I guess, into the way you think about different skills now that you're teaching?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of different things that can be used for. I think tackling is a very widely used skill, so it's easy to do this on a massive scale, but it can be, you can break almost anything down into the steps of a technique. And the way that I've been taught on how to coach and how to teach is step by step. So if it's, you know, teaching a quarterback how to throw, you can break that down into certain parts and you could grade it that way. Or if it's, you know, an offensive lineman, you know, pass blocking and he's doing his kick step, you can break that down into the certain parts and you can grade it that way. There's a lot of different things that you can do. And I think that could be broken down into a positional type of thing. And at the end of the day, I think it's a lot of technique is great and it'll get you to where you want to go. But every athlete's going to be a little bit different. Like we had a kid at Bridgewater whose acceleration was never there. He, especially during the season, he would always kind of ankle bite people, but he made the tackle. So he would get, his track was always great. His prepare was great. His connect wasn't bad, but he would always just kind of leave his feet and his finish was never good. So we worked on, you know, him making better contact, but he was always a level one. So down need a shoe. So we worked on perfecting that. So there's a lot of different ways that this style of teaching and the style of grading can be used. It's all a matter of figuring out what you want to break down and what you want to grade in this style.
And for our listeners out there, if you really want to see this grading, check out what we've been doing on Film to Friday, which is a series, a five-week series. We started a couple weeks ago. It's on blogs.usafootball.com. We actually get into the grading. You see what's going into each column. You see what the report's like. And then we go through some clips with a coach. So all the details of that are there. So, Coach, with that being said, we won't go into some of those details necessarily on what's on the report. But from the process part of this and how this looks for you workflow-wise, let's start with the preseason, summer camp. You know, you talked about the off season, and that's a different animal. We'll get into that at the end. But preseason camp and everything that's going on there, what does your workflow look like daily as far as how you're going to go about preparing this for your meetings or however you're going to use this information?
So during preseason camp, we kind of broke it down where, you know, Coach Gene Cola and Coach Everett and Coach Whitley, our defensive backs coach, they would go and they would grade the schematics of each play during practice. And while they were grading the schematics, I would sit there and I would grade the tackle. And so as the tackle was being finished graded, we would discuss, you know, what did you give them on this tackle? And I would say, like, this is, they got a one for their track and they didn't. And then we would discuss why I thought that and why they thought differently or if it was the same. And as we progressed and as I became more comfortable with it and they became more comfortable with the way I was seeing things, it was I would work ahead because I was able to grade it faster because it's only, I was able to just pinpoint the five fights and immediately just see the track 1 or 0. And I was able to just go. So it became, I would finish it. We would go over it afterwards. Or if they came across a play as I was grading, they would go, make sure you look at this one. And after everything was graded, I would take around 5 to 10 plays and I'd put them in a playlist on Huddle. And we would start every unit meeting the day after with those 5 to 10 tackle clips and show the guys, like, this is an excellent track on this play. And then the next play would be like, this is not so great of a connect. And there would be tackle corrections on that clip for them to see. And we would have, excellent clips. We'd have some not so great clips. And it was all, reinforcing what we're looking for out of these. So they can, they're not only acting it out in drills, but they're seeing what we're looking for as well. And I think that was a great way to kind of reinforce what we were trying to teach. It ended up, the workflow of it got less and less as the preseason went through, the more comfortable we got with it. But it was pretty even after we figured out that putting those 5 to 10 clips at the beginning of each unit meeting was the way to go.
So then you prepared those, as you said, for, for the entire team. And then the clips, were those specific to that position group, those 10 clips, or was it something that they were all going to learn from, each position?
They were all going to learn from. So we would break up, we'd have our full team meeting, then we would break up offense, defense, and we would all, the whole defensive side of the ball would meet in a lecture hall. That would be the first thing we'd go over. And we'd show, we'd have, a defensive lineman with a really good acceleration where he keeps his hips on the ground, or that would be shown. And then we'd have the next play could be a cornerback with a really good connection and a level one tackle. And so everyone's being able to see how everybody's doing it, and they're able to adapt to their own way of doing it because they're seeing how other guys are, performing the skill. And they're also able to see, different ways of kind of adapting to what we're trying to see. And we would mix it up, and it wouldn't always be just great clips. It wouldn't always just be bad clips. And, we did some really interesting drills, and we incorporated BDA into a lot of it. So it was a nice way to start meetings because we'd add a little couple funny clips in there as well of guys that are, falling over themselves as they're trying to do VDA and make a tackle at the same time. So it was kind of a way to kind of light hard start a meeting. But after we go through those 5-10 clips, we do our install, and then we would break into position groups. And then if there was a specific clip from a specific drill that those position coaches noticed that they wanted to add, they would start their position meetings with those clips. But the 5 and 10 was a full unit thing so that everyone can see what we're trying to do.
And then you mentioned the drill. So you guys, so I'm clear, you guys were also filming up all your tackling drills?
Yeah, we filmed everything.
And then, so you have those materials prepared for the teaching. You're going to share them in the meetings. As you guys take a look then at the next particular practice and you have this data on how you're performing, how much of that then was used to create that next practice plan?
A lot of it. So we would go through and kind of see if we had a really heavy acceleration day, and the next practice, the acceleration was up, we go, okay, we don't have to focus on acceleration as much. So we can move on to whatever the next lowest grade was. It could have been connect. We could have had a really bad track day where we were overrunning or underrunning outside plays. So we would focus on track the next day. So we were able to really look at things at the end of the day and go, okay, we were planning on working on this, but I think, finish or acceleration is something we should focus on instead. So we're able to kind of mold it day to day based off what the previous day showed.
So camp certainly is different than in season, and you know, camp you're working towards that opponent at the end of those 25 or 26 practices that you get. But weekly, there's an opponent there at the end of the week, and you start to weave in a little bit of, you know, what are they doing? How are we going to have to fit this? What might come up over the course of the week, et cetera. So as you take this into the season, let's just go over and give us an overview of your workflow over the course of the week. I guess let's start with evaluation of the previous game and roll that all the way to the next game. So let's take a look at, you know, essentially what your weekend looks like or what your Sunday looks like.
Okay. So Sunday is, you know, we had a staff meeting in the mornings. So we would meet as a staff, and then we would go over, we'd start grading yesterday's film if it wasn't finished, or we'd start game planning for, you know, next Saturday. But I would go through on Sundays and I would grade all the tackles. And then it ended up being, that normally takes probably about half hour, 45 minutes. And then from there, I would take that data from that I've done on Huddle with those grades, and I would export it to Excel. From there, I would generate individual tackling reports for each guy on the team, and they were two-sided. So on the one side, it would have all their data from that week, and then on the other side, it would have all their data from the entire season. So they can see week to week, you know, last week my connection was really good, and this week it was really poor, or that's something I need to focus on in practice, or they can see like their yak was really good. And it was really interesting to see, because those would get handed out on Monday. The guys would come in, and, you know, one guy's yak would be like 24 because he missed, you know, a tackle in the open field, and the guy ended up getting 12 extra yards. So they would just start competing to see who could get the lower yak moving forward. And it was nice to see. But after those tackling reports were done, it was really a matter of helping the rest of the guys on staff with game planning. We'd start breaking down for, you know, opponents moving forward or later on in the season. But the tackling aspect of it only takes about 2 to 3 hours once you get used to it. So there's a lot more that you can get done outside of it. It sounds like a daunting task, but the more you get used to it, the quicker it goes and the more comfortable you become with it. So it doesn't take up like a huge portion of your day.
So as you guys sit down and you look at the next opponent, you have that data on how you've performed here in your last week, and you're looking ahead to, you know, you have it broken down to what those guys do. Looking at the data, looking at the information you have about your players, knowing maybe some of the schemes or things you're going to face. Now, what are you guys thinking of as far as your practice plan for tackling in that week, and weaving, I guess, both sides of that in, the opponent as well as what you guys have been doing?
So, like I said, it kind of, we go day to day. In the ODAC, we played a lot of different teams. You know, WNL's a classic team, and Shenandoah's, you know, spread the ball out, and they had a really good quarterback last year, so they would throw the ball a lot. So we would kind of base our tackle drills around what we think those guys are going to be in. So with WNL and Randolph-Macon, where they're going to run the ball, you know, 60% of the time, we would do more in the box level three. So, you know, shoulder to hip style tackling drills, because we think those are more likely the types of tackles they're going to get themselves into in the game. Or when we go to play Shenandoah, you know, it's more likely that they're going to be on the edge, and they could be making, you know, they're going to try to cut the motor. So they're going to be going to the legs more often than, you know, getting in the box and trying to thud a guy up. So we would kind of base it based off the type of situation we think they're going to get themselves in. But it would still incorporate, you know, if we'd had a really good connection day, we would switch to an acceleration day or something along those lines, where we would always keep it different. So it wouldn't ever just be the same thing, because regardless of if you're playing a veer team or if you're playing a spread team, you're going to get yourself in a situation where you're going to have to make those different types of tackles. So we would just look at the data and make sure that we were focusing on the areas that need to be focused on, while also trying to put them in a situation where they're going to be in the most game-like scenario.
So as you look at the course of the week with practice, you guys are going to have, you know, opportunities, an individual or however it might be. What does the tackling period look like for you guys? I guess at Bridgewater, I'm not sure if it'll be the same or different at where you're at right now, but as far as what you guys were doing there at Bridgewater, how much time was devoted to the practice?
So as far as tackling specifically, we had one 10-minute period where it was just tackling. And the way we did it was we worked in circuits. So we would start with, the linebackers would start with, you know, Coach Everett or myself, and we would work on dip time and prepare, where we'd do zombie tackling. And if we were decided that we were just going to focus on acceleration that day, we would do, you know, a bag, you know, bag drive on the ground. And then we would be there for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we would rotate, and the linebackers would go to our defensive backs coach, who was working on a different acceleration drill. And the defensive line would come to the linebackers coach, and they would do, you know, the bag drive drill. So they were able to get a bunch of different styles of drill in a short amount of time. And we were also able to incorporate a bunch of different fights in at one time. So if we had a week where we decided, you know, we really need to work on our prepare, our connect, and our acceleration, all right, no big deal. We can do that through the style of circuit drills. And one person would take the acceleration, the other would take prepare, and the last one would take connection. So it allowed, and that was something that we really did in the off season, because it allowed us to kind of touch on everything and give everyone a little bit of practice with all the five fights without having to devote large portions of practice time to it.
So then looking at your film from practice, I know you said you would find those 10 clips to be shared at the beginning of meetings, beginning of an install in camp. Now, what does the meeting period look like? And as far as the information you're able to take from the practice video, whether that be drills or scout video or whatever it might be, what does that look like now as far as what you're doing on your end, as well as then what you're sharing out with the players?
So really what I would do is you grade each drill individually so that you know what you're looking for in each one. And I would pick, you know, 2 or 3 clips out of each drill, and I would put them in a playlist. And they could be, you know, a good rep, or they could be a good teaching clip. And I would do that for every drill and every team period that we had in that practice. And then the playlist ended up being around 15 to 20 clips after I would do that. So then I would go back through and I would, you know, eliminate ones where, you know, this is a good clip, but maybe this one's a little bit better for teaching. You can see it a little bit better, or something else. So then I would just kind of comb it through to make sure that, you know, I get the 10 best clips that we can use to show these guys what we're trying to get across, and show them, like, this is how it should be done. Like, this is a great rep, or this isn't bad, but you need to work on, you know, keeping your feet. You know, you made good connection, but you drug your feet just a bit at the beginning, where you can keep those going through the entire thing. So it was just a matter of kind of combing through everything, because it's a lot of clips to go through, and there can be a lot to, you know, pick from where you want to teach, but going through and picking, you know, the best ones where you can see the most and you can get the most out of.
I guess I have a question here. Maybe it goes back to the beginning of the week and game planning a little bit. When you're looking at the personnel you're facing, in particular players on their team, are there any tips you give as far as the type of tackles you might have to use on a certain player? Maybe it's a bigger back, and, you know, what are you communicating on? Maybe what might be done personnel-wise, is that anywhere in the thought process?
So Coach Everett will argue that that's part of the tracking thing. And what we do is each player throughout the week gets a personalized scouting report, and their homework and all, you know, as it is to go through, and each person gets one player off of their team to scout. And they learn, like, you know, number one for Washington Lee is, you know, he's a scat back. He likes to cut back. He likes to juke. He's not going to try to run you over. Or, you know, number 24 for Randolph Macon, he's not afraid to contact. He's going to come at you. So that kind of goes into their personalized learning who they're facing. Mm-hmm. And we're really big at Bridgewater. They're really big into film study, and there's a high expectation that they need to prepare like elite athletes, and they need to prepare like this is their job, because it is. So in terms of practice itself, there's not a whole lot that goes into, you know, number 24 is going to run you over, so we're going to work on level three drills. That's not how it works. It's more of they need to understand through their elite preparation that this is the type of back this guy is, so I need to be prepared to take him on this way.
Right. Right. We appreciate that. Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess that's what I was getting around to, that somewhere in the process it does become a little bit personnel driven to an understanding the opponent. So thank you for sharing that.
Yep.
So we get through the course of the week. We've done those corrections in practice. We've taught from the tape. We've adjusted drills as needed to get the work done, and we get to game day. What is your role as far as the guy who's looking at all the tackling on game day? Are you still having a tackle focus? Are those things you're looking at as the game goes on, or what's done in that regard on game day?
So on game day, I did a lot of hit chart and charting plays, but I would also look to see, if a player missed a tackle on one play, I was able to, catch on quickly of what went wrong. So I was able to tell the guys on the field, because I was up in the booth with Rob Everett, and was just like, hey, tell GTR that he needs to keep his feet going, or tell, Rayshon that his connection is, his connection was bad. He needs to get his dip time down. Or we weren't really focused on it in terms of looking for it, but if it was something we would notice, we would point it out, and the guys were receptive to it. And you could tell when, we would come up and say, you're losing your feet on connection, keep your feet in the ground. The next time they go out, you would be able to see that they're actually, taking that to heart, and they're doing it because they know what we're talking about. We can say fight to accelerate, and they know what that means.
And I think that's something I want to emphasize here in understanding this system, the advanced tackling system, the five fights philosophy. The common language that is installed is so key. And that common language can't just exist between the coaches. It has to go to the players. And you guys do that through all your teaching. You do it with all the cut-ups you put together for them after practice, the drills you're running. And then you have that translation where on game day, you're telling them something that is very relevant to them, and they understand. And as you said, the results, you're able to see it on the next play. You're able to see it the next time they have that situation occur. So I think the common language is huge. As you guys were installing that with your players, how did that really develop the culture of your defense?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Like, when the guys bought into what was really going on, it made our job a lot easier on game day, because we didn't have to sit there and explain. We didn't have to put in six words of keep your feet going throughout the tackle. You could just say fight to accelerate, or we didn't have to say like you weren't ready for the tackle. We can just say fight to prepare. So the common understanding around everybody is, and it didn't have to come from us. If someone on the field, if one of the other guys recognizes that, hey, you hit him with your chest instead of hitting him with your shoulder, they can say, yo, fight to connect. And they understand the way we talk and the way this is all working. So they're almost able to coach themselves, because it's the same language we use to talk to each other and to explain it to them. And untackling is something that is really, really strong at Bridgewater. And it's something that they've really bought into as a defense. And Coach Clark will say it a lot. He says that the best compliment you can get as defense is that you are a great tackling team. And through these five fights and the culture that has been built down there, they are a great tackling football team. And I'm really excited to see, what the next step that the five fights are going to take in their defensive culture.
From the standpoint of looking at this as a young coach, you know, the situation you were in and the opportunity this presented, I know there's a lot of guys out there maybe who want to get to that level of being a coordinator or really just want to find more ways to contribute in a positive way to their staff. What would be your recommendation to those guys of, you know, understanding and digging into this a little bit, but then being able to bring it to your head coach or your defensive coordinator and say, hey, this is something I want to do for our team? How, you know, from your standpoint, if, you know, coming at it from that angle, how would you go about that?
I think the best way to do it is just constantly learn and constantly be open to different approaches to things, because there are people out there who aren't bought into the five fights. So, you know, it's, you know, seeing the way they want to do it and, you know, trying to explain your mentality. And if this is something that you really believe in, then dive into it. You know, don't just rely on, you know, working game to game. Go through and do the practices. Do every tackle that's made during fall camp. Go back through and do seasons prior. If you're coming into a new program like I am, I'm working on going through and doing everything from last year so I can get a baseline of where we are and be like, I can go to my head coach and say, hey, this is where we were last year in terms of the way that I see tackling. And I think we can improve with, you know, the five fights. If we were to implement this here, I think we can improve by focusing on these five areas. So I think it's being adaptive and being confident and just being able to say to somebody that this is the way that I know from my experience that this is something that can make us better, and sticking to it, not being afraid to put yourself out there. Those are things that people are going to respect in the long run.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think this is something, the opportunity is there because this is a position that exists on very few staffs around the country. So to think of this and say, I'm going to go learn this and I'm going to grade our film after I've learned how to grade it. And I understand how to see all these things. I understand the system. And then I'm going to take it to, you know, the guys in charge and say, this is what I learned about us. This is the work I've been doing. This has been my project. And this is the role I want to take on. You will make a big impact on your team. I can promise you that from the guys who fill this position and the guys who have this position on their coaching staff, this role is invaluable as to improving the quality of your defense and the performance of your defense. So I highly recommend you dig into this as if you're looking for that opportunity. I do think because it's so new, you could quickly make a name for yourself with this, you know, in your own little local community and then growing from there. If you're be able to be known as that tackle guru, hey, this guy over there is a tackle guru, that's going to make a difference in your career as well.
Absolutely. I think this is really next level stuff that we have going on here. And I think the more that you get yourself in, you know, on the ground floor of this, because it's going to catch, and it has been something that, you know, I only spent a year and a half with defense or the Bridgewater defense, and I was able to notice how much of a difference that it made and how much the guys were buying into it. So, I mean, the five fights is something that is really going to revolutionize the way tackling is taught in the culture of defense moving forward. So getting yourself in on the ground floor of this is something that's going to be invaluable.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through all the details of what somebody in this position does. I would say I'm not going out on a limb to say that there's been no other place where something like this has been covered. I've never heard a podcast like this or read an article. So I guess you're a little bit groundbreaking here, Coach. If guys have questions for you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You can talk to me on Twitter. It's at Coach P. Allen FB, or send me an email. It's CoachPeytonAllen@gmail.com. But I'm more than happy to answer any questions that anybody has. Like I said, this stuff is groundbreaking. So I'd be more than happy to help anybody else get in on this.
Well, Peyton, I appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your team in 2019.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year-round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coach. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.